Our lesson this morning has not only a reading, but also a text. The reading is going to come from 1 John chapter 3, and our text is going to come from 1 John chapter 1. First, let's make our reading. 1 John 1, beginning with verse 17. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word alone, but also in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. And then John writes, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. But if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing to his sight, in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in us. Brethren, I remember when I first went off to college. I've said this as a joke before. I'm not really sure if I'm joking or not. I thought I knew everything. But one thing that I must have taken for granted, that I didn't realize then, that I certainly do realize now, is how good it is to be a Christian. And I wish I had have realized that then. I wish it had not taken me perhaps years to truly realize how great it is to be a Christian. Now that's our reading. Now let's get to our text. Very familiar text, 1 John 1, verse 7. But I want to get up to verse 5 to begin. John writes, this is the message we have heard from God and declare unto you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. However, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying and not telling the truth. But if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sins. Now, brethren, I always try to hesitate giving advice when I'm using the scripture. But brethren, this is the greatest advice that you and I or any other Christian could ever receive. John tells us we need to walk with God. He tells us we need to stay in God's presence. And he tells us we need to maintain a lifestyle that is consistent with God's word. And he also tells us we need to walk with each other as we walk with God. And we need to stay in each other's presence as well. And together we need to develop a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. Now in Ephesians 3 verse 20, the Apostle Paul basically says the same thing, but he comes in a completely different direction. You might remember the wording. This is where he says we are rooted and grounded in love. And since we are rooted and grounded in love, we can appreciate and understand God's love for us. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of Christ. And then to punctuate that powerful statement, he says in the very next verse, now to him, that's God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power, now notice, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Now, I want to go back to the reading. I also want to go back to our text, but I want to say a few things really in general before we do that. I think all of us as students of the Bible appreciate 1 John. When I have time to read the Bible and it's not a lengthy time that I have, I like to turn and read 1 John and 2 John and 3 John. I love the writing of John. I love the Gospel of John, where John was privileged to be the penman writing about the life, teaching, and death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. My favorite passage of Scripture in all the Bible is recorded in John. And I love 1 John 1:7 also, if we walk in the light. It is not only a beautiful thought, but it is a powerful concept. Walking in the light where God is. Why would anyone want to walk where God was not? But John really continues this thought in the second chapter, verse 8. The darkness is past, the true light now shines. Indirectly, he carries this thought even into the third chapter of 1 John. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Brethren, is there a greater blessing we could receive than that? I say no. We are the children of God. We are his heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There is no greater blessing than that. Children of God, because we've been planted together with Christ, Romans 6. Children of God, because we've been born of the water and of the Spirit, John 3. Can there be a greater blessing than that? I say no. Plus, on top of that, he has given us eternal life. Plus, on top of that, he's given us the Bible that will lead us straight to the portals of heaven itself. There is no greater blessing than that. And as John says, to belong to God. I remember the first time I changed majors when I was in college. I was an education major. I decided I wanted to be a psychology major, and I thoroughly enjoyed all my psychology classes. But then I got to thinking, what am I going to do with a bachelor's degree in psychology? They all go to do more schooling. I certainly didn't want that, so I ended up changing my major again. But I even remember the specifics of a time when I was in a psychology class. Believe it or not, my professor's name was Looney. Psychology class, Professor Looney, but he was telling us about mankind, how one of the needs of mankind is the feeling of belonging. And the reason I even remember that and the time frame is because I had just pledged a social club there at Abilene Christian, so I felt like I belonged with that social club. Now, the illustration he used was young people on the Northeast coast and young people on the far west coast, because they felt so alone. These are inner city children. Because they felt so alone, they were more prone to get into these dangerous groups that were on the far coast. People just need to belong. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. He says, first of all, we know that our body is the temple of God. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, which is in you, which we've received of God. And then he says, for we, that's we Christians, were bought with a price. Therefore, we must glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Our life must bring glory to God. But notice what he says then. We need to bring glory to God because we belong to God. To him. We belong to God. We are his children. We are his. Paul says in Romans 14 verse 7, for none of us live to ourselves or die to ourselves. Whether we live or die, we belong to God. And that's true. We belong to God. We are his. We are his property. But there's a catch. There's always a catch, isn't there? We have to want it. And unfortunately, we're living in a world, in a society, in a nation that doesn't want it nearly as much as our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and so far behind. We've got to want it. We've got to want to be, as Jesus said, poor in the spirit. We've got to want to be, as he said, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. We have to want to be, as Jesus says, willing to take up our cross and follow him. We've got to want to be faithful unto death. We have to want to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. We have to want it. It's not going to be just given to us in one sense. We have to want it. And that leads me to my next point. Why wouldn't we want it? Why wouldn't we want what Jesus offers? Let's just pretend for a moment. Let's say that someone that you knew, respected, trusted, came to you and said, I want to give you a new car. It's free. And I promise, I guarantee, it will never break down or wear out. Who in the world wouldn't want that? Or if it was a washer and a dryer or something else, who wouldn't want a free item guaranteed never to break down and never to wear out? Brethren, that's what Jesus offers. He offers us eternity. Jesus went to the cross so that we don't have to die spiritually. He rose from the grave so that we will someday be resurrected and meet the Lord in the air. I mentioned my favorite passage of scripture. If you go to church here, you know it's Romans 14, 1 through 6. But my favorite part of my favorite passage of scripture is where Jesus says, now listen, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that's heaven, you may be also. Brethren, this is his guarantee. The Hebrew penman also made the same guarantee in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith. We're going to get down to verse 6. I want to read a more modern translation, and then I'm going to follow up with the King James. A more modern translation says, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. King James says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of diligently seek him. In other words, God, through Jesus, has given us the guarantee that God is going to do what God said he's going to do. That's the promise. That's the guarantee. What did God say that he would do that we know he's going to do? He's going to save those that are faithful to his son. Faithful not only for a short period of time, not even for a long period of time necessarily, but for the rest of our lives. That's what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. But be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of everlasting life. God will do what he says he's going to do. He will deliver. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What God has said he will do, he will do. And that's why we extend the invitation this morning. Because God is going to do what he says he's going to do. He gives us that guarantee. He gives us that promise. And he designed salvation around his son. The teaching of his son. The perfect example of his son. Including his death, burial, and resurrection. And so using Jesus' own words, you need to come unto him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for his yoke is easy, his burden is light. His invitation is to you so that you can escape destruction, because God can do what he says he's going to do. Let's open our song books to our song of invitation. Number 940. Ken, will you be able to come up here? Ken will meet you up here. I'll come down just as soon as we sing. Let's sing all three verses of 940. If you need to come to Jesus, won't you come now as we stand together and sing?